Good evening, and welcome to Independent Bible Church Evening Service. We're going to start the service with singing, so if you will stand and turn to page 97, we'll sing The Mercies of God.
The mercies of God, what a theme for my song. Oh, I never could number them all. They're more than the stars in the heavenly dome, or the sands of the wave-beaten shore. For mercy so great, what return and sure. I'll love him, I'll serve him with all that I have, as long as my life shall endure. On the second, they greet me at morn when I waken from sleep, and they gladden my heart at the noon. And sure, I'll love him, I'll serve him with all that I have, as long as my life shall endure. On the last, his goodness and mercy will follow me still, even unto the end of the way. And sure, I'll love him, I'll serve him with all that I have, as long as my life shall endure.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. We'll invite you to remain standing if you're able. If it's a little bit of a challenge wise, not a problem if you have a seat. A lot of prayer requests. Let me mention some of these briefly tonight, and I don't mean briefly and just be fleeting and go in our ears and out, but a lot of sickness, as you know, a lot of things going on. These would be ones we're aware of. I remember Brother Jim Page. Many of you know he was in the hospital a few days earlier this past week, is home, but still has RSV, some pneumonia there, trying to regain some energy and strength, so pray for Jim. Debbie at home with him. Keith Moss, I know, was pretty sick. And Pat, I know Keith was. I'm not sure if both of them had it. They were scheduled to come to the banquet yesterday. Couldn't come. Remember the Mosses. Our daughter Emily down in Florida with her grandma, my mom. And she picked up something. She's not feeling so good down there. And so praying that she'll heal up and get better there. I'm assuming Sydney's sick. I didn't see Sydney this morning. So pray for her as well. Of course, Katie and Devin, continue to remember them with a miscarriage here recently. And some of you ladies have had that and understand that and could reach out and encourage her in the Lord. Jackie and Bethany Searfoss, I know, are sick. I'm not sure about Brittany there. I know they missed a couple days of school. Now, a lot of things going on. Denise Filipek, I heard mentioned there, passing a kidney stone. I appreciate some prayer for that there. And again, that's just some of the ones I'm aware of. I'm sure some of you know some people. You could give their names. I appreciate your prayer for my Aunt Kendall. She's been on the Prayer Channel Wednesday nights for years. My Aunt Kendall's 87, lives down in Cocoa Beach, Florida. My dad's oldest sister. Haven't seen her in many years, but she's in the hospital, not doing well, not a believer, been witnessed to, shared gospel many, many times by many, many different people. And she's been in pretty good health for all these years, but not doing good. My sister, my younger sister is also down in Florida, stopped down to see her a little bit, but wasn't very responsive. So I appreciate your prayers from Aunt Kendall. Kendall Biddle there needs to know the Lord, and many of you have relatives as well. So lots to pray about. I don't mean to give those quickly, so we just do a token prayer and then move right on. But I hope that you will lift these folks up in prayer and perhaps even do more than that. If you live near one of these folks or the Lord burdens upon your heart, take them a meal, check on them, stop by, give them a phone call. Do what you can to be a blessing to them in any way that you can. So let's go to the Lord in prayer here tonight. Father, lots of names I just read off, and those are just a few. Lord, for those who have been with us on Wednesday nights, when we look at our prayer bulletin, Lord, there are literally probably 100 or more names on there. Not all are from our church, but connected to our church, or family members, folks that need Christ, our missionaries, not to mention all of their needs in their own families, in the mission field, Lord, unspoken needs, Lord, health issues, spiritual needs. Lord, it can be overwhelming, but yet as we looked in the Word of God this morning, we're thankful that you are a great God and a great Savior. All these things are but a drop in the bucket to you, Lord, who holds the entire universe in the palm of your hand. Lord, we're thankful that you are mighty when we are weak. We're thankful, Lord, though, that you work through prayer, and your children are to pray to you, Lord, the living God, not in repetitions that are vain and empty, not in memorized sayings, Lord, but fresh prayers from our heart to you, a living God. And Lord, we know that the greatest need is salvation of souls and spiritual needs. What shall profit a man? He shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Lord, that's the greatest need of all. And yet, Lord, we know that many of our brothers and sisters in Christ, young and old, are battling sickness and health issues and things that are just not pleasant to go through. And yet, Lord, we know that through trials and hard times are often the times we draw closest to you. And we appreciate more the good health that we have and things we take for granted. Lord, I pray that you would bring healing in your time, strength to those who need it. May they look to you, Lord. They're discouraged, faint-hearted, Lord. I pray that they'd find refuge in the Word of God. And I pray that through this, Lord, they would have a more tender heart and a love for you and appreciation for your goodness. Lord, help us to do our part to minister, meet the needs of our saints, the saints, our church family, those that need the Lord. Lord, we ask your blessing tonight, each one that's here, all that's done tonight, Lord, the music would prepare our hearts for the preaching of the Word of God. Speak to us, Lord. I pray whoever you speak to us tonight, Lord, we'd be willing to obey. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may have a seat.
Stand if you would. Last chance to stand before the service, before the sermon. I love the chorus on this song. Hallelujah, I have found him. Actually, he found me.
All my life long I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long had craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood I now am saved. Feeding on the loss around me till my strength was almost gone. Long my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long had craved. Jesus satisfies my longings, through his blood I now am saved. Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to start tonight. You need not turn there. Romans chapter 15. And then we're going to turn to the Old Testament. I said we're starting a new series tonight on an Old Testament Bible character. Maybe you forgot I said that. Maybe you've been trying to guess. Like, okay, I got my top three. I think he's going to be doing. I'm pretty sure he's going to be doing this person. All right. Or maybe not this person. And so we're going to be studying an Old Testament Bible character. Now that narrows it down, right? Only about 400 in the Old Testament. All right, you say, well, maybe he's doing one of the well-known ones. Okay, we're down to maybe 50. All right, so I know that's a big ocean to try to guess in, but I'm not giving you any hints tonight. But I do want to remind you what the Bible says when concerning the Old Testament. Sometimes that word "old" throws us off. I think, oh, yeah, it's a bunch of old stuff in the old days and old times. Not that important, you know. I don't even read that kind of stuff. That's thousands of years ago. All right, yet the Word of God says in the New Testament, Romans 15, 4, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience, cheerful endurance, and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. That encompasses the entire Word of God, certainly, but especially the Old Testament. Whatsoever things were written aforetime. Here's the thing, remember. As daunting as sometimes the Old Testament can appear, Genesis to Malachi, that's not that much. That's not that much for 3,500 years of recorded history, from creation down to the book of Malachi there. That's it. That's all we have. That's it. That's all God we needed. So whatever God put in the Bible, he put it there specifically. Very specifically for each one of us. We're not told the full life stories of most all the Bible characters. What we're told is what we need. And so the Bible says these things were written aforetime for our learning, not just learning facts. Well, that's old stuff from old times. Those things don't happen anymore. No, that's not true. The Bible is a living, breathing book. It's alive. What God put in that is very important. The Bible's all relevant. And I like what one preacher said, Leland Johnson, longtime preacher. And then he went to Brazil, him and his family. Now he's off the field. He's now a field director for Macedonian World Missions and a black preacher. And he came one. I've shared this before, but things stick with me. He preached in our high school chapel years ago at Temple. And I still remember what he preached on. I still remember what he said. All right. He said he's preaching from 1 Samuel. And he's doing an Old Testament story. He said, you know, a lot of people say, well, this Old Testament's a bunch of things that happened years ago in the past. He said, no, that's not true. They're not things that happened years ago in the past. They're things that happened right now. And sometimes he's like, well, I don't know about that. We often look at that as just a bunch of recorded Old Testament stories. And, okay, there's some nuggets of truth in those, and we need to learn some things. But the Bible says it's more than that. It's recorded because the entire Word of God is alive and quick and powerful. It's not just recordings of things that happened years ago that could happen in your life. It happens today. No, they may look different, dress different, not have all the things we have today. The same basic core things are always the same. And the things that we see in Bible characters happen today in our lives, and you're going to see that reflected in the person we're about to study. All right? And so if you would, turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis. Uh-oh, that narrowed it down. Your guest still alive? Some people don't guess.
I don't want to guess. I don't do that kind of stuff. That way I'm never wrong.
Turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis. You say, well, Pastor Moore, there's 50 chapters. I know. Let's see if you got the right one. Go ahead, pick a chapter and just park there and see if you think you got the right person. All right. So we're going to go to the book of Genesis. We're going to be studying an Old Testament Bible character on Sunday nights here over the next few months probably. All right. Now, it's not Abraham, because I already did Abraham, all right? I don't know if you were here, though. I did a series on Abraham for probably 3 or 4 months, Sunday mornings, probably within the last 2 years. You say, 2 years? What? So it's not Abraham, all right? And you say, well, who is it? Well, it's going to be someone connected to Abraham. We're going to be studying a man named Jacob, all right? Jacob, not one that most people normally pick, all right? He's often overlooked between Abraham and Joseph and some of the more well-known Bible characters. So if you would, start with me in Genesis 32. We're going to do something we don't normally do in studying a Bible character. We're going to read some verses smack dab in the middle of his life. Right? Well, you know, that's not how you do it. That's not how you do it. You got to start right at the beginning. No, we're going to get to his beginning, but tonight we're going to start by reading right in the middle and really reading the most important and significant time period in his entire life.
that changed everything. All right, and then we'll come back a little later. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32 here tonight. We're going to be studying the man Jacob. Now, if we were Hebrew, that would sound funny because it's Jacob. All right. By the way, there is no right or wrong in pronouncing any Bible name. So if anybody in here acts superior because the way you say it, you know, sometimes a preacher will say it differently. Enoch. Philistines. You know, and you'll have your own method and you won't like it when somebody changes it up. All right. Number one, we're not Hebrew. And so how they say things, they don't say Jacob. They say Jacob. Jacob. All right. Joshua. Yeshua. All right. I mean, they don't say it the same way we do it. All right. And so, you know, for instance, Job. I doubt that's how his name was pronounced. But if we say it any other way, it doesn't sit well with us. Job. All right. Job. All right. How about David's wife? Well, a lot of times we say Michael. I don't usually say that. I usually say Mikhail or Michelle or Mikhail. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could say that. All right. So there's no right or wrong. So when people read the Bible, you shouldn't get intimidated reading a Bible name. Nobody knows how it was pronounced, all right? And so you give it your best shot and do your best and move right through there. And so we're studying the man named Jacob or Jacob, and we're going to entitle this series, Jacob, The Path of Brokenness. The Path of Brokenness. Before God can use a man, before God can use a woman, you've got to be broken. All right, you've got to have your will broken, not your spirit, but your will broken. You've got to yield to God, all right? And you're going to find Jacob, a man that we can all relate to. Let's go read this story, which took place, when I say the middle, not in the middle as far as actual ages of when he was born and when he died, and this is in his 70s, no, but really the middle of his life as far as his life story. And we're going to come to a story that some know well, some do not. We're only going to read it briefly as an introduction. We will get to this, but it'll probably be a couple weeks or months before we get there. Genesis 32, verse 24. Genesis 32, 24. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, so it's key when you're reading the Bible, you're like, well, who's the he and the him? So when he, the person wrestling him, saw that he, Jacob, prevailed not against him, he, the person wrestling, we're not really breaking this down, angel of the Lord, touched the hollow of his, Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, the angel or angel of the Lord said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he, Jacob, said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he, the angel or angel of the Lord, said unto him, what is thy name? And he, Jacob, said, Jacob. Jacob. And he, see how important it is to know the he's and the hims? Because you'll read this, you're like, I have no idea what's going on. And he, the wrestler, angel of the Lord, said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he, angel of the Lord, said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he, angel of the Lord, blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he, Jacob, halted, limped upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel, eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, at least the time Genesis was written. Because he, the angel of the Lord, touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Now, if that's new to you, you don't even want me to move anywhere else, all right? You want me to stay right there and be like, what is going on here? I've never heard this before. This is, what in the world? This is crazy. You got to stay here, but we're not staying there, all right? That's sort of in the middle, but this is the key moment in Jacob's life. We're picking up something that happened here as an introduction. You know, well, who's this person? Who was he wrestling with? Was it really God? Was it Jesus Christ incarnate in the before the New Testament? Was it God himself? He said he saw God. Well, what's going on here? And why is he asking him his name? And what do you mean it halted upon his thigh? From this moment on, Jacob walked with a limp the rest of his life. The rest of his life, walked with a limp. He lived a long time after this. He never forgot that. There's a reason he walked with that limp as he encountered the Lord. Jacob, for the first time in his life, was broken. Broke his will, his proud spirit, yielded to God. And things changed drastically here in this man's life. We're going to look at tonight briefly his beginning. We'll look a little bit of his ending. We'll talk just briefly about the in-between, and that'll be all we get to tonight. But if you could sum up this man, Jacob, Jacob. We've mentioned it. His theme song for most of his life up to right here, his number one song on his social media page, where it had all the things he liked and disliked and where he went to school and relationships he was in. Yeah, unfortunately, he had a few of those. His favorite song would have been, "I'll Do It My Way." We've talked about that here before. I hope if that's yours, you've already deleted that, all right? "I'll Do It My Way." That sums up the world. Yeah! Nothing encompasses the pride of man's own doing his own things. "I'll do it my way." Defiance to God, that independence. That was Jacob. "I'm going through life my way. It's going to be my way. I'm going to control everything. I'm going to hold the cards. Everything's going to be done my way." And listen, you can have that attitude and you can have that spirit. That's the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of the devil. That's the spirit of the flesh. That's a popular spirit to have. It'll make you seem cool. Yeah, man, do it your way. Look, you're awesome, man. That's all the commercials and all the Hollywood. Yeah, do it my way. We're rough and tough and tough. Nobody tells me what to do. I make my own rules. Yeah, I drink beer when I want to drink beer. I'll break the rules. I'll do whatever I want to do. Yeah, I'm going to do it my way. God says in the Bible, no, it's God's way. It's God's way. God says, no, it's my way. It's not your way. It's my way. And you've got to be broken to that. That's what we're talking about. You've got to yield to God's way. We've got to be broken of that. I want to ask you tonight to answer in the silence of your heart. Have you ever been broken of that? Now, I suppose there is definitely a brokenness as far as salvation. Up to a certain point, not when you're young, maybe you didn't have it, but especially if you were saved older, you sort of, this was my way, or I don't need religion, I don't need God. If I go to heaven, it's going to be on my terms, or I'm good enough, or I do enough. You know, that's sort of the attitude. I'll do it my way, and I don't know what you guys are talking about. Yes, you've got to be broken of that. You've got to see the truth of the Scriptures. You've got to turn from that pride and turn to the Lord. But I believe even in the Christian life, even though you may be saved on your way to heaven, I believe there has to be another part of brokenness, and sometimes that's the hardest, the brokenness of the will to God, obedience to God's way, God's purpose for your life. Not, I'm going to go through life and do it my own way. I'm saved on my way to heaven, and Jacob certainly knew the Lord, but he had gone through his life doing it my way. What does the Bible say? Isaiah 53:6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." I mean, that's inherent. We're born that way. We are born doing it my way. I'm going to go down my path. Won't anybody tell me what to do? Proverbs 14:12. "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There is a way. It seems right. That doesn't mean it's right. Proverbs 16:18. Probably another verse that would define Jacob up to this point. "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit." I don't need any help. I got this. Don't you worry about it. "And a haughty spirit before a fall." Proverbs 29:23, "A man's pride shall bring him low." If you're a proud person, you know what that means. You've been brought low before. God has had to humble you. Maybe you haven't been broken yet. God still brings you low and you keep getting back up, doing it your way. God's going to keep going. "A man's pride shall bring him low." We're talking about a very proud man, Jacob. Let's take a look tonight at his beginning. Would you go back a little bit? You're in Genesis 32. Go to Genesis 25 and let's read where it all started. Where it all started. Genesis 25. You need to have a Bible, have it open, follow along with me. Don't let anything else distract you. Put everything else down. Take notes. Hang on the Word of God. Let go. No, Pastor, I'm going to do it my way. All right, do it your way, I guess. Genesis 25. Let's take a look at his beginning. Had a great heritage, didn't he? Who's his grandpa? Abraham. Who's his grandma? Sarah. I believe both of those folks are in the Hall of Faith. That's pretty impressive. Who's his father? Isaac. His name's in the Hall of Faith. Wow, that's pretty good. There's only 16 names in the Hall of Faith. All right, there's three right there. All right, wow. Who's his mother? Rebecca. Well, she's not in the Hall of Faith, all right? Doesn't mean she's not a terrible person, but she's not in the Hall of Faith, all right? But Jacob's a twin. Sometimes we forget that. He's got a twin brother. He's associated with that twin brother. Let's read how it all started, all right? Genesis chapter 25, verse number 19. Everybody with me? Here we go. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her, in her womb. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? I mean, this was more than just a hustle and bustle. Boy, well, these are some active kids. Well, I just had caffeine I shouldn't have had. No, it's more than that. This is unusual. This is highly unusual. She's not been pregnant before. What is going on? I mean, this is like a war going on here. What's happening? To the point that she actually inquired of the Lord. Verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Wow. Interesting Bible prophecy there from the Lord to Rebekah. You've got two opposing sons in your womb that represent two nations and two way of lives and two way of philosophies. Wow. And they're already battling. They're already, by the way, they're real children, though they're in the womb. And the oldest, the firstborn, is going to serve the youngest. By the way, that's a Bible principle throughout the Scriptures. You need to study that if you've never really been aware of that. You study that throughout the Bible, and you take a look at all of that, and you see how that ties in with Jesus Christ. And you look at all the Bible characters. And who was it? Was it Cain? No, it was Abel. All right, was Abraham the Abraham was not the oldest. He had an older brother. Wow. All right, how about Ishmael was older than it was Isaac. All right, what about Jacob? Jacob, I mean, you go through the Bible and you start studying it, especially in the book of Genesis. All right, Reuben was the firstborn. It wasn't Reuben, though. All right, and you start going through the Scriptures, and you how about David? David wasn't the oldest. Why does God do that? Is that a pattern? Or I thought we're supposed to learn. What's God showing there? Interesting things here. Huh? Interesting. All right, Moses. Moses wasn't the oldest. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong if you're the eldest. But there are some spiritual truths there that God is showing forth here through this, some types. Verse 24, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. Whoa, this little fella has got some serious hair. He's hairy and he's red. We're going to call him that. Esau. Esau means red. That's how you name people back then. Esau. Wow. All right. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out. But here's the interesting thing. And again, we're not here to, so ladies, you will know what I'm talking about here. But as they pull out Esau, little brother has got a grasp on older brother's heel. Literally. They pull out Esau, the firstborn, who's older by what, 10, 25 seconds? And little brother coming out has got a grasp on his heel. That's what it says. And that they named him for that same reason, Jacob. Heel catcher, that's what that means. Heel catcher, supplanter, usurper. I mean, it's like he's fighting to try to be first. He's trying to overcome his brother. Jacob, heel catcher. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. 60, 20 years, no children. 20 years of marriage. 20 years, oh God, oh God. God hears, she has twins. Verse 27, and the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. No two brothers could be more different. Esau got claustrophobic being in a tent. Got to get outside. Loved the open air, the woods, the streams, the hunting. It was an outdoorsman, rugged. Jacob was just a plain fella. Smooth skinned. His brother was hairy and rugged. Jacob was a homebody. Doesn't mean he was a wimp. Doesn't mean he was a sissy. He just was a homebody. Esau was a daddy's guy, and Jacob was a mama's boy. He stayed at home. He liked being near the home in the tents. He liked being right around the animals, and they were different. Unfortunately, we come to verse 28, and this will ruin any home and family. And Isaac loved Esau. Doesn't mean he didn't love his other brother, but he loved Esau more than the other because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, we're not reading it. We're hardly reading any sketch of their whole life growing up. We're only giving what God gives. We have no idea their ages. Verse 29, and Jacob sod pottage. Jacob's in the kitchen tent. He's making some stew. He's got some vegetable soup. It's hot. It smells good. He's been in there all day. And who comes in? And Esau came from the field. And he was faint. He'd been out for 2 nights. No one had even seen him. He hadn't caught a thing. He forgot to bring his meal. He's starving. He's dying. It's like some of our Gonzaleses probably get this all the time. Mom and Dad, we're starving. We're dying. Where's food? All right? Some of you, I'm dying. You're not dying. No, guy, Mama, help me, help me. Sean probably does the same thing over there, all right? Some others in here. Esau, oh my goodness, verse 30, Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, Esau, similar name. And now look at this. It's almost like he'd been waiting on this for his whole life. And Jacob said, sure. Sell me this day thy birthright. Where'd that come from? I just asked for some pottage. Happy to do it, brother. Sell me your birthright. Now, we'll get to what the birthright is in some upcoming lessons. All right? Sell me your birthright. And Esau said, verse 32, behold, I am at the point to die. Not true. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear. No, Jacob's serious. Esau, come on. No, I mean it. I want the birthright. Swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. And what does the scripture say? Thus Esau despised his birthright. We'll talk about the birthright not tonight. That's an important thing there. Esau represents the flesh. Esau represents the world. Esau represents the rebel. Esau represents the lost man. He's in the long line of Cain, and not Lot necessarily. Lot is a saved man, but the great rebels of the Bible, the Absaloms, the ones that look glamorous, and maybe but they're rebels. They don't want nothing to do with God. They don't care about spiritual things. The birthright, the birthright. I don't care about that birthright. Well, the birthright has some spiritual things attached to that. Jacob didn't do it right, but he was interested in those things. But even here, Jacob's going to do it his way. Now, God had already promised it before he was born. Promise to his mother, promise to his father, the elder shall serve the younger. God said that. But Jacob says, I'm going to get it my way. You're going to see that's going to sum up his life. It's going to be my way. I'm going to always do it my way. I'm going to use my mind to be cunning and crafty. Learned a lot of that from his mother, as you know. What a lineage he had, huh? Plain man, simple. Now you say, well, wait a minute, was Grandpa still alive? Yes, absolutely. You can read earlier in that chapter how old Abraham he died. Abraham died at 175. Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born. Isaac had children at age 60, therefore Abraham is 160. Abraham died at 175, therefore he would have had 15 years of interaction with Jacob and Esau. All right, pretty good heritage to talk to Grandpa. Grandpa, tell me that story again when you took Dad to Mount Moriah. Tell me again what happened up there. Hey, Grandpa, tell me again. Tell me again what happened there with the angels that came to you, or Uncle Lot, great Uncle Lot. I mean, Abraham had an influence on these two boys. One was interested in the spiritual things and one was not. Jacob was. though he spent most of his life going about it the wrong way. Esau never did care, all right? He despised his birthright. You say, that's his beginning. Well, let's look at the ending. You say, whoa, we got to keep going. No, we don't have to. We can do whatever we want to do, all right? And this is the way we're going to do it, all right? So we looked at his beginning. Let's look at Jacob's ending. And for that, we're not talking about his actual ending. We go to Genesis 49 and see how old he was when he died. We're not talking about that. Let's go to the New Testament, would you? Go to Matthew chapter 8. Let's see what the New Testament says about this man named Jacob, Jacob. And then we'll wrap it up with the in-between, which will be the bulk of his life, which we'll start studying in earnest next week. Matthew chapter 8, first book of the New Testament. Okay, so we've got a young man. We don't know how old he is. He's got grandpa and grandma who are in the Hall of Faith. Abraham, wow, the friend of God. His father was the boy that was taken to Mount Moriah by Abraham and put on the altar, and God spared his life. Jehovah Jireh, the ram, wow. He's got a great heritage. But his name does define his character. Heel catcher. Supplanter. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. I'll be superior. My way. It's going to be my way. All right? I'm going to get it my way. It's going to define him until he's broken. What about the ending? What does the Bible say about the man Jacob? That's all we have. We have pretty much not a very good fellow. But let's see what some of the Bible says. Matthew chapter, we're going to look at four references in the New Testament and then try to bring it to a conclusion here tonight. Matthew 8, take a look at verses 10 and 11. This is Jesus speaking. Matthew 8, verses 10 and 11. Matthew 8, 10 and 11. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not knowing Israel." He had just done a miracle. "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." You know that those three names are always mentioned together. I don't know if you know why, though. That's another interesting study, huh? Why does it always say, "I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob"? Why not just the God of Abraham? Isn't that good enough? Why not God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Judah, or Joseph? Why is it always the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? Now, there's a reason for that. That's not accidental. You ever studied that? Have you ever chewed on that? Why is it in the Bible like that? All right. Now, we don't want to give you all the answers. It would be good for you to study. Matthew 22, a little bit later in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 22, we'll see the same wording. But this is thousands of years later. I mean, this is over 3,500 years after Jacob died and was buried in the cave. Matthew chapter 22, we have Jesus speaking again. He's speaking to some religious people, or non-religious Sadducees, who are trying to trick him. And they're trying to bring up the resurrection, which they don't believe in. They would be humanists. People like today, yeah, we live, we die, it's all there is, there's no afterlife. They don't even believe in the resurrection, but they want to bring this question up, try to trick the Lord. And so what does the Lord answer them? Chapter 22 of Matthew, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection," so is there a resurrection? Jesus just said it. "For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying," here it is, verse 32. He's quoting Old Testament. "I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob." And what does God say? Jesus says, "God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." They're not dead. Yes, they are. Abraham, he died 35, a long time ago. Jacob's, no. Because God's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. That's why he doesn't say, "I was the God of Abraham." No. "I am the God of Abraham." But he always includes Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's some importance there to that. And Jacob has a part, if you would, in that trinity of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Go over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Maybe this is one that has slipped by you as you read the Scriptures every Christmas. Luke chapter 1. Don't be weary. It's only 6:55. All right? We're winding it down. Come on, you've got it. Hang in there. I know sometimes a long day. Those have been in the choir there. Oh, you've had a good day serving the Lord. You're going to get some rest tonight. Luke chapter 1. Look at verses 30 to 33. Maybe this slipped by you. Read it so quick sometimes. Here's Gabriel talking to Mary, the virgin, before she has Jesus Christ. And what does he say to her in Luke chapter 1, verse 30? And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." But look at verse 33. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." We always notice David, but "he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom, Jesus, there shall be no end." So wait a minute, Jacob's mentioned a bunch here in the Bible, and he's mentioned favorably in the New Testament by the Lord. That's pretty interesting. Let's go to one more, Hebrews chapter 11. And when you hear that, you ought to know where I'm going with this. Hebrews chapter number 11. How many of you ever visited the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton? Okay, well, I was going to say, what did? That's on my bucket list. I didn't get to do that with my dad before he passed away, but we're not too far away. That'd be my favorite one to visit. How many have been to the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame up in Massachusetts? Surely Pro Baseball in Cooperstown. We've got baseball people here. All right, more of a baseball wing here. All right. The other ones, no big deal. You may say, well, the hockey one or the golf one, blah, blah, blah. All right, but those are the three big ones there. All right. Now, you say, well, how many people are actually in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? A couple hundred. How many are in the Bible, what we call the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith? Well, there's only 16 names mentioned. That's pretty exclusive. All right. Old Testament saints that had extraordinary faith. Abraham takes up the majority of it. Abraham, Sarah's mentioned. You even have Isaac mentioned, Hebrews 11, verse 20. But there in verse 21... you get this man named Jacob. You may not even know this story that we're about to read, because we'll get to this much, much later. "By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff." Now, if you just read that, you might be, I have no idea what that's talking about. You have to go back to Genesis. He's a very old man. He's about to die. He wants to bless Joseph, the favored son. He wants to bless his grandsons. His grandsons come in. And in the Bible, the right hand is the hand of blessing for the firstborn. And Joseph puts dad's hands because dad can't see. But dad switches them. And Joseph says, no, dad, that's not right. That's not right. You did it wrong. "No, my son. I know what I'm doing. This is of God." What? Now, God put that in the Bible, that was done by faith. "By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff." Now, that's in the Scriptures. He's in the Hall of Faith. Wow. All right. This man, Jacob, the I'll do it my way guy. Mr. Subtlety, Mr. Craftiness, Mr. Deception. Wow. That's pretty interesting. All right. From Jacob to Israel. We read that. God says, "I'm not going to call you anymore Jacob. You're not going to be known anymore as a deceiver, as a heel catcher, as a supplanter." God says, "I'm changing your name to Israel." Israel? Like the nation of Israel? Yes. Prince. One who rules with God. Whoa. All right. How'd that happen? Well, God did it. But he had to be broken. Have you ever been broken? Are you proud? Stubborn person, God wants to break you. You really won't be used of God unless you're broken. All right? You're going to have to be broken. Not your spirit, not a wounded, broken spirit now, but your will. All right? Be like a horse, right? And some of you have known Norm, horses, breaking horse. I remember one time we used to take our teens every few years, back in the early days when we started at Temple, late 90s, early 2000s, Bob Jones used to have Farm Fest. I think they still do, and I know Gary may have helped back in the day. Used to do a big one, giant one-day youth rally outside at a farm, big fields out of Greenville, and that was about an hour and 15 from us. So we used to take our teens down, 1,500 kids. That was huge. And do all these crazy games. They have a big tent. You have a preacher in. You preach, big youth rally. And so we went maybe 3 or 4 times in the early days, and then we just didn't go anymore. But one year they had an exhibit there. They had a man breaking a horse. And he did it all day. You know, you just did it like 3 or 4 different times. And during free time, you could go over and sort of watch. And he would, so if you wanted to spend some time over there, he'd sort of walk. Here's what I'm doing. Here's one that had never been broken before. And by the end of the day, you know, not only was he leading it around, but he could put everything on it and ride it. All right. And so I didn't watch all of it, but I've seen some of that in TV, and some of you may have done that, but it's pretty interesting. You know, here you got this wild, powerful animal, very powerful, could easily kill you. All right. Muscles and legs. Just wow, look at that big thing. That's a beautiful animal God made. But it's got a lot of spirit and it's got a lot of will. But it's not going to be useful unless it's broken. But when you break it, you have to be careful not to break its spirit. But you've got to break its will. It's got to submit, but at the same time, still retain its spirit. And that's the balance. And then when you break it properly and it yields, that animal can be a very profitable animal that still has its spirit and character. But it's the same thing with humans. You've got to have your will broken. I've got to have my will broken. All right? God's not really going to use you if your will's still broken because you think you've got to do it your way. And that's the man Jacob. Well, we've got 3 or 4 minutes. You said, Pastor Boyer, we looked at the beginning there a little bit. We looked at the ending. Wow, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the house of Jacob, his name's Israel. He's in the hall of faith. Well, what happened in between? Oh, boy. That's the headstone, the dash, right? Between when you were born and when you die, that dash. A lot of stuff there. What do you mean a lot of stuff? That's where it gets messy. It's messy. What do you mean? How about deception, trickery, multiple wives, dysfunctional family, hatred among the siblings, favoritism, rebellion, anger, fighting, immorality, lies, deception, murder, rape, revenge, fear, regret, death, sorrow. Whoa! Oh, yeah. A lot of stuff in between. A lot of bad stuff. A lot of stuff that could have been avoided. He said, I'm going to do it my way. We praise God there's forgiveness. We praise God, but I'm going to tell you, Jacob was a man who suffered much. Lived with years of sorrow and regret. Personally, I believe he went 20 plus years without even smiling. You know the whole story. All right? Wow. Because now he was broken, but he had to bear the consequences of a proud, stubborn spirit. Bad choices in his family, raising his boys, playing favorites. Oh boy, a lot of lessons we can learn. I'm going to read from the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. Some of you have that. If you have it but have never looked at the back, there's some sections that do some character studies. And on page 1641 in the back of the Thompson Chain, you can read about Jacob. I'm going to read you just the 2 or 3 paragraphs it says in the back about Jacob. It says, no other Bible character represents more fully this is just someone's opinion. No other Bible character represents more fully the conflict between the lower and higher nature than that of Jacob. Beginning on the downgrade, at times it reaches glorious heights, only to sink again into the sordid struggle for gain. But it emerges at the very last upon the plane of triumphant faith. No devout reader who studies the history of this man's career can doubt that he was a chosen vessel, instrument of God, in spite of all of his weaknesses. And it has a chart. And it looks like a roller coaster. Maybe you say, Pastor Boyer, that's a lot like my life. Or that's a lot like it used to be. I hope that's what you can say. I hope it's not still that way. That's my life, very inconsistent. I'll go from great highs to great lows. I'll go from the mountaintop to the wilderness, sometimes in the same hour, much less the same day. That's my life, ups and downs. Oh, my goodness. I want to ask you as we conclude tonight, is that you? Is that your life? Is your life basically a spiritual roller coaster of great highs and great lows? Of sometimes being on the mountaintop and walking with God and hallelujah, praise the Lord, victory, and then boom, the great defeat and crash. You're like, oh my goodness, this is awful. It makes you seasick like a roller coaster. Maybe you're here tonight and you long for consistency in your own personal life. You long for consistency in your own marriage. You long for consistency with your home and family, and it may seem impossible. It's not impossible. God's the God of the impossible. And the Bible is a reason the Bible is rich in Bible characters that you and I are to study. These things were written aforetime for our learning. that we, through patience, cheerful endurance without quitting, with our eyes on the Lord, and comfort of the Scriptures, you did it for Jacob, you can do it for me. You did it. You know what Sarah was like? Now, some people don't study the Bible characters. The New Testament comparison is the Apostle Peter. Peter, you know Peter, oh my goodness. Peter, what was true about Peter and Jacob? Both were extremely proud men. Very proud. Peter, I'll do it my way. No, you're not washing. Had to be humbled. Had to be broken. And I praise God that they were broken. And every great man or woman that God's ever used has been broken. The answer is found in the Bible. We're going to learn a lot of that from the life of Jacob. I'll finish with this. Jacob goes from the trickster to the triumphant. He goes from regret to rejoicing. And he goes from instability to being called Israel. Whoa! Only God can do that. The question is, have you ever let him? Because if you ask Jacob, he'd say, God did it, but let me tell you, I've got a lot of scars. There's the difference. There's the difference. Don't wait to be broken, because the longer you wait, the more scars you'll leave behind. And he left a broken path of sibling problems, family problems, children problems that went on for decades, that plagued his family his entire life and even past them. Jacob, the path to brokenness. God wants to break you and I. God resists the proud. He gives grace unto the humble. Let's pray. Father, I pray you would do a work in my heart. You do a work in the heart of everyone here tonight. Lord, they don't have to wait till next Sunday night, if we're even here next Sunday night, to study the life of Jacob. They have all they need is a Bible. Open the Word of God. Have an open heart, an eager mind, some self-discipline, a pencil, and readiness to study. They have the Holy Spirit, if they're saved, to guide them in all truth, and they can begin to study the man Jacob and see, Lord, where his pride was, why he was so deceptive, how he did his methods, and how, Lord, he longed for spiritual blessing, but he wanted to do it his way, not God's way. He didn't want to wait on God. A very proud man that had to take over 20 years of being a messed up life before he yielded to God. Oh, Lord, may we yield to you. May we not be stubborn and proud and haughty. We know exactly what the Bible says will happen. Let us not leave a ruined family, scars behind, as we are too proud. Lord, may we yield to you. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight fighting against you, Lord, they can't win. It's impossible. I pray they'd yield to you. I pray they'd humble themselves in spirit and heart. I pray they'd be broken, Lord, just as you broke Jacob, just as you long to break each one of us. Not our spirit, Lord, but our will. And Lord, we're reminded in Psalms where it says the sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite spirit. Lord, you want that, us to have a tender heart, to be tender-hearted, but yet our will to be broken to the things of God. Lord, I pray, do a work in this church. Do a work in my heart. Start with me, Lord. May we all be yielded and humble vessels for you. Well, thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good to have you here tonight. We've got some visitors sprinkled about. Don't leave tonight until you personally greeted them with a smile. Get to know their name and look forward to seeing them again. Lord bless you. You are dismissed.